Sangre, Shubhaka, Shubh, Damana, Shubh, Shipa,
Maraj,
Gita.
Om Gaya Temirandasya Gyananjani Sakaya Chakurun Militam Yena Tashmai Se Gurave Naha No Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesham Sunavari Pashyata Desatarine E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namastate Tatakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanshakalpataro Vyachakripa Sindhu Hai Vacha Patitana Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jayadvaita Gadadhara Chari Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Isvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Narayanam Namaskritya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Devim Sarasatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasatim Vyasam
Tato Jayam Mudiraya
Tato Jayam Mudiraya
Nasta prayesho vadreshu
Nasta prayesho vadreshu
Nityam bhagavata sevaya
Nityam bhagavata sevaya
Bhagavati utam shloke
Bhagavati utam shloke
Bhakti bhavati naistike
Bhakti bhavati naistike
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam for Canto Chapter 7 The sacrifice performed by Daksha Text number 30
Bhri Guru Bacha
Bhri Guru Bacha
Yam
Yam
Mayaya
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 Garhanya Pahirit Bahiritatma
Garhanya Pahiritatma
Maybe I should separate that.
Garhanya
Garhanya
Gahanya,
Gahanya,
Apahirita,
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 Atma Bodha,
Atma Bodha,
Atma Bodha,
Atma Bodha,
Brahma Adaya,
Brahma Adaya,
Brahma Adaya,
Brahma Adaya,
Tanu Vritaha,
Tanu Vritaha,
Tanu Vritaha,
Tanu Vritaha,
Tamasi,
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 Swapantaha,
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 Na,
Na,
Atman,
Atman,
Sritam,
Sritam,
Tava,
Tava,
Vidanti,
Vidanti,
Adhuna,
Adhuna,
Tattvam,
Tattvam,
Shaha,
Shaha,
Ayam,
Ayam,
Prasidatu,
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 Bhavan,
Bhavan,
Pranantatma,
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 Banduhu,
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 Bhri Guru Bacha,
Bhri Guru Bacha,
Yanmayaya.
Yanmayaya.
Yanmayaya gahanya bahiritatma bodha.
Yanmayaya gahanya bahiritatma bodha.
Yanmayaya gahanaya bahiritatma bodha.
Yanmayaya gahanaya bahiritatma bodha.
Brahma dayastanu britastamasi sopantaha.
Brahma dayastanu britastamasi sopantaha.
Brahma dayastanu britastamasi sopantaha.
Brahma dayastanu britastamasi sopantaha.
Natman sritam tava badan. Natman sritam tava vidanti aduna pitatvam.
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 Soyam prasidatu bhavan Pranatatma bandhu.
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 Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Bhrigu said, my dear Lord, all living entities, beginning from the highest, namely Lord Brahma, down to the ordinary ant, are under the influence of the insurmountable spell of illusory energy, and thus they are ignorant of their constitutional position. Everyone believes in the concept of the body, and all are thus submerged in the darkness of illusion. They are actually unable to understand how you live in every living entity as the super soul, nor can they understand your absolute position. But you are the eternal friend and protector of all surrendered souls. Therefore, please be kind to us and forgive all our offenses. Report by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Bhrigu Muni was conscious of the scandalous behavior exhibited by each and every one of them, including Brahma and Lord Shiva in the sacrificial ceremony of Daksha. By mentioning Brahma, the chief of all living entities within this material world, he wanted to state that everyone, including also Brahma and Lord Shiva, is under the concept of the body and under the spell of material energy. All but Vishnu, that is the version of Bhrigu. As long as one is under the concept of the body itself, it is very difficult to understand the super soul or the supreme personality of Godhead. Conscious that he was not greater than Brahma, Bhrigu included himself in the list of offenders. Ignoring personalities or conditioned souls have no choice but to accept their precarious condition under material nature. The only remedy is to surrender to Vishnu and always pray to be excused. One should depend only on the causeless mercy of the Lord for deliverance and not even slightly on one's own strength. That is the perfect position of a Krishna conscious person. The Lord is everyone's friend, but he is especially friendly to the surrendered soul. The simple process, therefore, is that a conditioned soul should remain surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord will give him all protection to keep him out of the clutches of material contamination. So this is the symptom of the saintly personalities. You see, there is a series of prayers offered to Lord Narayan Vishnu, and everybody understood what the mistake created in the sacrificial arena, and when the Lord by his own causeless mercy descended, then everyone became understanding the position of Swanapan. So that's what it is. Actually, a series of prayers continue, offering their prayers to the Lord. glorifying the name, fame, and the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their own way. So this is the symptom of a great devotee of the Lord. So we cannot understand the Lord by some puffed-up mentality, saying that I am most intelligent, I have understood everything. So with that type of approach, one cannot understand the nature of the Absolute Truth, the nature of the Supreme. So the Supreme can only be understood by a change of heart. Change of heart means by knowing that we are insignificant, eternal servants of the Lord, and our position is always to surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. So in this incident where there was a failure of this yajna performed by Daksha because of his misbehavior, now things, of course, have been said all right again by the mercy of the Lord. That is another an inconceivable mercy of the Lord. The Lord is always forgiving to his sincere devotees. Otherwise, he can always be crossed, he can always be bound by the love of the devotees. So, I think the mood is the mood and the style and the approach and the understanding is important, at least in trying to understand the principle, basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So here, Bhrigumuni is praying, he's making his own offering. And similarly, in the following verses, there are prayers by all the sages and saintly people. And they are so happy. And also, you see, the style of prayer, you can also understand how different personalities pray in different forms, the same thing, but presented in different ways. But at least offering their heart and requesting for forgiveness for such a mistake, and be merciful to all the conditioned living entities. So that's our position. Our position in Krishna consciousness. We cannot act in a very puffed up mentality. Who comes to the lotus feet of Krishna, the first qualification is that give up all your false conceptions of your regarding anything, especially the false conceptions that I am the master, I am the owner, I am the proprietor of certain things. So I think this false conception has first to be given up. That is the primary requirement in the path of devotional service, that all false ideas should be immediately given up. When that idea is given out, then the devotional path will follow automatically. I think this is an important instruction that we can gather from, say, great dialogue. So, any questions? Questions and comments?
Is there any relevant relation between Bhrigu and the particular realization he had? In other words, he is worshipping the Lord as one who in relation to the understanding of the Lord's mercy on embodied entities, ignorance, the mercy that he delivers to them. Is there a relevance why he is worshipping in that way? And the others are worshipping in other ways?
Yeah, I think everyone has a, by the constitutional tradition, a certain relationship with the Lord. It's just like a, in a gross form, it comes as a guna karma in the qualities of the activities that one has. I think similarly, in the even in the spiritual plane, there are special relationships that according to the individual's relationship with the Lord, there is an intimate relationship with the Lord. And that is a, you cannot say, guna karma or vanasam type. But at least Even in the spiritual plane, also there is a special relationship with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord, somebody wants to relate the Lord as a as his friend. Sometimes as a, like a son, and like a as a lover. So there is an intimate relationship there. Sometimes as a servant. So I think according to the individual's quality and his attachment to the Lord. There is also in the spiritual world there is a, that relationship. I think in the mundane world, in this material world, I think that manifests in the form of this vanashram type, that somebody wants to serve the Lord in a, according to their activity, like different guna karma, qualities in the activity. So similarly, I think Prabhu also, I think the way the type of prayer that he's offering, I think, in a way, in something in that mood. Everyone has similarly others have offered prayers according to their realization relationship. I think it's natural for all of us also. Similarly, each one of us, although it may not manifest very properly, but each one of us has a relationship. And accordingly, you manifest that. Even in our very ordinary dealing, sometimes you can see different symptoms that the devotees have. Some people act in a very passionate way, some people act in a very sober and nice, but sometimes some people act in a very foolish way, but in their own way, also in this service. So I think this is a similar idea.
Briefly
talking about the false idea. What are the false ideas? How one can judge whether he has a false idea or not? Because his tendency is there. How one can determine? The prominent false idea is that you are the master. I think the greatest illusion that we have in this material world is that I am the proprietor. I think that I am the proprietor. I'm the owner of this things. So in other words, I am the master. So I think that is the greatest illusion. I think all the living entities act in that way, either knowingly or unknowingly. So that is the greatest illusion, that when we come to this material world, that symptoms are most prominent. In other words, ultimately you think that we are this body, we are this material body, from top to bottom in the human society today, they're thinking like that, that we are nothing but this temporary material body. So that's the illusion, and that illusion is that makes you, because of that illusion, that makes you think that you are the master, or you are the owner, or you are the proprietor. So I think this is the, in a way, the greatest illusion. But the moment you realize that that is your false notion or false idea, then you begin to at least begin to understand your real identity, and then begin to act properly.
How one can see that in his daily practical devotional service, that this is his false idea or it's not his false idea?
You understand by the symptoms explained in the sastras and the way the sentient people walk, and suppose by deviate from the sastras and from the instructions of the sentient personality, or from the pathways that the sages and the sentient people already marked out. If I should know that whether I deviate from that or not, and if I am proceeding according to the guidelines given in the sastras and in the acharyas and sent to people, then I should feel confident that yes, I'm at least trying my best. But the moment you feel that you're not doing that, then you should be understood. Of course, when one is completely in the dark, in the mode of ignorance, that you may not know exactly what is going right or wrong. So that is why there are these sages and sent people come and do give away the right process, put them in the right direction. It's like Prabhupada came. Prabhupada came But the primary purpose is to show us the right path, how to progress our in the journey, in our journey, life's journey, so that everyone can be free from ignorance. So that way, the guidelines come now and then. It's like Krishna says in Gita, and whether you decline upon this religiosity, sages and sentient people come. They will show us the right path for religiosity, so that people can again, you know, be understanding what we should do. But basically, let's say, when one is a little familiar with the science of this transcendental knowledge, the question should be clear. General, do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
So, any other questions? My talks will be very, very short from now. You can plenty of time.
Bhrigu is considered to be a mental son of Brahma. And
mental?
So, yeah, son of Brahma. So how come he got such kind of brain to go against the will of the Lord and get punished and then come to the original consciousness?
This is also the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But sometimes even the great sages and saint people behave in such a way that but the primary function is to give enlightenment to the conditioned souls, that even in the minds of the great sages and saint people, the mode of nature is so powerful that their minds can even be influenced. I think this is an example showing that the modes of nature are so powerful that even the greatest and most advanced soul can be influenced. Of course, in this case, I think our understanding in the higher sense would be that, you know, they behaved in such a way, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they were, in a way, put in the darkness eternally. They had to act like that because they have to give a message to the all conditioned living entities, as to make us contemplate that the material world is so powerful, or the symptoms of the external energy of the Lord. Influence of the external energy of the Lord so powerful that even the greatest soul can be influenced by that. So that way, the hearers of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the listeners of the Srimad Bhagavatam, can get a great instruction that we have to be very careful. We are insignificant living entities, and so if we don't behave properly, then we'll be always in trouble. So I think in order to give that message, the sages and the same people, the great personalities, we have like that as to give us the revelation. So similarly, like the relationship with Arjuna and Krishna, they are put in such a situation that the message can be transmitted for the well-being of the conditioned souls which are in this age of Kali.
It seems that sometimes in the Shastra, Brahma is used as an example. Lord Brahma is used as an example of someone, even though they're so great and powerful, still they're influenced by the material energy. That, and the lesson is that we shouldn't underestimate the power of the material energy. It's so strong that even he can be affected. The same personality who comes as Haridas Thakur, He sets the example that a pure devotee is so powerful that he can even overcome the influence of the material energy, such as when Maya in the form of the prostitute approached him. So on one hand he's teaching one lesson, that even he can be influenced by the material energy. Then he came again, the exact same person, and showed how a pure devotee can transcend the influence of material energy. How can we adjust this in our minds?
So that's the nature of the very thoughtful era, that the sober-minded people. And when one is completely free from the influence of the three modes of material nature, then one can see things in this right form. So I think when someone is given the type of blessing that he's completely free from any type of contamination by the material influence, then he can see those things. So it said that Pandita Samadarsana, those who are sages and the saint people, those who have come to the plane of pure devotional service, and they will be endowed with that type of quality to see things properly, that Lord Brahma, the first living entity, although is a great devotee of the Lord, but sometimes he can also be influenced, as we see in the several aspects. Sometimes we see behaving in a little different way. Also sometimes he's behaving in the most devotional quality. So that simply will tell us that, again, reminding the influence of the symptoms of this material world, and so that we can get actually lessons properly, so that we can travel to the journey of Krishna consciousness undisturbed. But that simply tells us that this devotional path is like a razor's edge. It's very difficult, and it cannot be taken very lightly, but rather we have to be careful every step, because even the greatest personality are liable to be affected. So I think that is a lesson to remind us that we have to be, every moment to moment, we have to be extremely careful, because otherwise we may also be misled by the influence of the most material nature. But that doesn't reduce the position of Lord Brahma or in the eyes of the great devotees. In the eyes of the great devotees, he still sees that Brahma is the greatest devotee. But at least seeing that the symptoms of the material and influence is powerful. Yeah.
You were saying that Haridas Thakur and Lord Brahma were the same personality.
I think that some of the problem is that devotees have a tendency to absolutize everything, but to make everything simple. This is the reductive tendency of the mind, to make things simple for our sake of our understanding. We draw black and white lines, but then we're always coming up against these kinds of exceptions, but we don't seem to remember that Prabhupada defines liberation in so many different degrees, in so many different kinds of liberation. We don't have to
absolutize the things that we run up against. Also, that also explains the multi-variegatedness, multi-dimensionalness of the absolute. Also, according to the extent of Prabhupada told us many times in the course of our conversations that one can have, let's say, there can be thousands of answers of the question. Depends according to the intelligence of the real medium, the dialogue between the two, the spiritual master and the disciple. Yeah.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. It seems to me that the emphasis that Prabhupada placed is one on observation of natural culture, and therefore we have to be very careful that we're always looking for the best thing, and although we understand that we are not up to those standards, still we have to keep the best thing in mind.
as that, therefore we have a tendency to absolutize. And I think it's a legitimate tendency. Of course, we should talk about the fact that we have to fall someplace in between.
That's one of the powerful, let's say, aspects about philosophy is this simultaneously one and different. Inter Veda Veda. I think this it is as a powerful, I think, for children to know very deep. But I think everything can be explained within this realm. It's a powerful concept in philosophy. And I think if we begin to reflect on the nature of the absolute more and more, we get inspiration.
I think what Gokul was saying is that we have a tendency to, because we cannot approach the transcendence with full appreciation, we simplify. Or we, rather than, for example, if we're not humble, we have a tendency of thinking that there's a one meaning to something, that's it. And that meaning that we have is it. And when that meaning is not clear, we become frustrated. Or when that is confused.
That is like the distance of the moon.
Yes. But there's so many angles, so many, we should always keep humble in that way. But, and I'm sure there are many, many realizations on your question. One point that is apparent regarding the role of Lord Brahma and the Lord of Haridasa is that they are playing out different lila, different activities. And in those lilas, if we meditate on those two lilas, we see that in one, there is a role of representative, order carrier, Lord Brahma. And in case of Haridasa Thakur, it's a very intimate, loving exchange is there. And the empowerment is different.
I had heard that after Lord Brahma offered Lord Krishna the entire Brahma Samhita prayers, that Lord Krishna shook his hand or something like that, that he accepted, that Lord Brahma's rasa with Krishna was as a friend.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering how, is that not an intimate kind of relationship also?
It also can, it could be, I mean, the degree of intimacy of Krishna Leela and Chaitanya Leela is definitely, the degree of different intimacy is different. Although I'm not familiar with subject matter that much to be able to give you an authentic opinion. But also, we should remember that just in case of Lord Brahma, where we, let's say, where Krishna is stealing the cow, where Lord Brahma steals the cows, that pastime, then, or where Maharaj was giving the example of where Lord Brahma is chasing his daughter. In all of these instances, there's deeper understanding. It's not a total fall-down as we conceive it. You may explain this.
You see, Brahma is... before he spoke, before he prayed the Brahma Samhita to the Lord, he was situated in Jnana. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you will find that Vedas are explaining three modes of material nature. Unless one comes to Nistraya Gunya, means beyond this material nature, he will not be a bhakta. So Haridas Thakur himself is Brahma, and he took birth in Kali Yuga, you see. Also Brahma, when he got purified, he became pure devotee. So when he took birth from pure devotion, and he began pure devotion again. So any Maya came to him, he came over it. You see, Brahma, when he ran behind his daughter, or when he stole cows of Krishna, that is in jnana. Bahunam janmanam te jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. Unless one is situated in devotion, he will not have jnana and renunciation. Renunciation, detachment, and jnana, knowledge, comes to that person who is situated in devotion. So Brahma was situated prior to Brahma Samhita in jnana, not in detachment. And where there is no detachment, there is no devotion. So Haridas Thakur, although being Brahma, he is not that Brahma. Like Brahma comes to see Krishna in Dwarka. He comes to see Krishna in Dwarka, he is thinking he is everything. Just like a person thinks, oh, I am everything. I mean, my mind, like third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapiladeva speaks. Person who is situated more of passion, he has got three qualifications. First thing is I. Then he thinks my. Then he thinks mine. Nominative, possessive case, and all that way he gets entangled in this world. Difference between both is only this much. After that, you don't see Brahma committing offense against Krishna. Brahma is a pure devotee of Prabhupada, said.
You said that Brahma is Haridas Thakur. So does that mean that when Haridas Thakur was on this planet, there was no more Brahma in Brahma Loka?
No, there was Brahma. Incarnate. Haridas Thakur, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, is incarnation of Brahma.
So he is another personality, not Brahma.
No, he is Brahma.
Please explain that also. I heard a take of Prabhupada, the same question was asked, and I was trying to understand how this was related to that. And Prabhupada said that Haridas Thakur is an incarnation of Brahma, is another personality, and he is on a higher platform in devotional service than Brahma.
I don't understand. That's interesting. It would be nice to see the reference on that.